The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Probably don't care, but that won't stop us. We had a... My guess is the drive guys were playing the picks live on the air, and so that messed up our little mini board in here, so...
Actually, I believe it was Emil.
Oh, is it Emil? Thanks, Emil. So when we walked in, it didn't sound like the open was on, and then took us a second to figure out it was a TV, and then by the time we switched the buttons to...
It's too late.
It was too late, so... Yeah.
Thanks, Emil.
Well, better now than on...
Oh, my gosh. You're just lame.
Yeah. Sorry, Katie. Better now than on a Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't want that to happen on a Friday.
Yeah. And by Friday, I meant Monday. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are
you? Good to be with you.
It's great to be with you. It's great to be with everyone else. It's great to be with everybody. Ooh, I get to be the first in the chat. Hi. Oh, no.
Burned.
I wasn't the first.
That was me. It's my ghostwriter.
It's Mark saying, good morning, Mr. Charmichael.
Oh, Charmichael Dave.
Charmichael Dave. That's my barbecue name. Charmichael Dave. Yes, it is Friday. Welcome in. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
He's giggly.
He is. It's a giggling Friday. Yeah, I got, you know... I don't know what I got here. I'm efforting somebody to come on to talk about the new Niners wide receiver, Pearsall, from
Ricky?
Ricky Pearsall from Gainesville, Florida. This gentleman who we're confirming for today, so we'll leave that as a fun surprise. So we have the draft. We're going to do grades today?
Yes, actually every pick.
Every pick.
A, B, A, C, D?
Yeah.
B, C, A, D, B.
Nailed
minus.
It. Minus. You ever have one of those multiple choices? You didn't study, you just go C the whole way through? Yeah. We've all been there. It's not a good feeling.
I think my greatest school story of all time in college had a test that was, maybe it was 25 questions on the old Scantron.
Yes.
And 25% of it was what you wrote in the blue book. So like your...
Yeah.
You know, not a story, but your essay. Thank
yes,
you.
Your essay.
I was not prepared.
Once upon a time.
Did not like the class.
Yeah.
And I did my best to guess.
Mm-hmm.
I got all 25 right on the Scantron.
You're kidding me.
It's a miracle.
Wow.
And to show how bad I was, then I filled, you know, pages of and got basically like, a few points on that, like terrible grade on the essay.
Nailed the Scantron.
Yeah, but I got like a C+ because I got everything right on the...
And you were guessing for a lot of it.
Well, wow. Maybe not 100%.
But 90.
Pretty close.
Wow, that is one of those... Yeah, that's...
I mean, there was a really good chance I was going to get like a 12 on the overall score.
Sure.
And I got a 78, which I still think to this day is a miracle.
That's one of those things like a betting spree where you can't miss.
It made me wonder, like, after I was like, that's great. Then I left. I go, wait, did they run mine through the Scantron? Did that, like, mine just slip? Like, oh.
I don't want to deal with Ross again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
This guy.
Like, I'd be that way. I'd be a terrible teacher. It's like crappy kids. I just want to get them through.
Yeah.
Or if they were like, or the other part is maybe if they were crappy kids, I'd just be like, no, I'm sorry.
Lay down the hammer.
Just lay down the hammer. I'll
see you again next fall.
I have a friend who's a teacher, and a really good friend of mine in high school. And I have a lot, like my grandfather, my cousin, my other cousin. One, two, three. I think we have my Aunt Ronnie. We have six current or former teachers in our like immediate extended family, if that makes sense. Like one step removed.
Sure. Don't we have two cousins?
No, I don't know why I said it like that. But my cousin Tantra, who teaches in the Oakland area, and then my cousin Gabrielle, who also teaches. Anyways, being a teacher is a big thing in our family, right? And like I'm one of those, like, I love teachers. I respect them. They make a difference. Like, they're not all great, obviously, just like there's no
sure
thing where, you know, but I really have a lot of respect for people that devote their lives to, you know, educating children and making differences. And they really do. You know, we talk all the time about how we're an escape and, you know, does what we do really mean anything? Not the big scheme, but it's, you know, like that means something. They have these kids come through, they have them for 1 year in most cases, and they try to make an impact on their lives. Like, what a rewarding job. Also, you couldn't, like, the list of things you could put in front of me ahead of being a teacher. You want to talk about, like, just no way, dude. Like, the stories I hear now, where you basically so handcuffed as a teacher. First off, it's like, what is it? I forget the comedian that did the bit, but was like, how whacked out in the head do you have to be to want to be a teacher? Like, you get paid okay.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky to...
So you can pay your loans.
Yeah, so you pay off your student loans, and you have 30 kids in front of you.
If you're lucky, only 30.
That their hormones are exploding. They're beating the hell out of each other. They don't want to learn math, and you have to teach them math. And why are they those kids? Because they just happen to live in the neighborhood around the school. There's nothing special. They just happen to be there.
Yeah, you didn't recruit them.
Do it for 30 years, and maybe 40, you'll be the head of the department and get a watch, a retirement, and move on. Not really a ton of room for advancement in most cases.
I have a feeling if you were a teacher, you would give an assignment so that everybody would work and then you could play.
100%.
What's your game right now?
It's a Royal Match. Which
I
Chris,
get some quality Royal
by the
match
way, Chris
time.
Chris sent me a I just reset my account again. I got to the point where it's just too lame. So I was like, I'll start over. Because it's just a time suck. I'm not trying to like spend money on little rockets and stuff. You know,
you don't have to spend money.
What do you mean?
You'd have to spend.
By the way, is that really yours? Yeah. That's a screenshot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd you get the screen? Your screenshot?
Yes.
That's you?
Yes.
You play it on your phone?
Yes.
Come in here and show me that. Show me. He sent me a picture.
You're doubting where he is? It where he is or what got
it's where he
that
is.
That was actually from a couple days ago.
Dude, he sent me a screenshot of his account that he just got to level 4,000. 4,000 on Royal Match. I thought he just Googled it. I'm on level, this is my second run through. I'm on level, I won't. Are you kidding me?
Can I see
you? Dude, what the hell? How much have you?
4,037.
When did you start playing it?
Yesterday.
October.
Ugh, I hate him. It gets old and annoying to me, right? Like, I get frustrated. Obviously, he doesn't. He's like more than double my level.
And I just have to use your power-ups correctly.
You hear that? Stuck-up Royal Match guy, right?
It's the haves and the have-nots.
Seriously. Like, I'm incorrectly using my power-ups.
Well, Chris is doing it better.
Like, I'm getting the, like, I'm waiting to get the, like, little magic ball you get every 10.
Yeah, that doubles everything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm being strategic. I'm looking for, like, oh, here's a propeller up here. Okay, a couple of matches, bring it down, go. Like, yes. But then you just get to the ones where it's like, oh, I can't. And it's so depressing when you lose the super magic ball. So that's where you spend all your stuff. And you got to do the volcano. Anyways. 4,000. 37.
I knew that would upset you.
That really pisses me off. That actually ruined my day. Anyway, I mean, honestly, kind of ruined my day. Let's go back to teaching. Yeah. I'm gonna get mad. So what really gets me, though, is that, like, we'll have conversations, you know, when everyone's telling stories about their job. The amount of things he will share sometimes where it's like, oh, yeah, Billy threw a rock at Natalie, and I had to bring him in, and we had to have, like, a parent-teacher conference. Like, it doesn't always happen this way, but the amount of times that the kid screws up and then the parents come in and blame him and the school for what little Billy did, and little Billy certainly didn't do that unless he was provoked, and there's no way, and it's your response. The amount, it really makes me wish in some cases, like, you have to fill out, and by the way, I know this can't work, but you have to, like, fill out, like, you have to show, like, a credit score. You have to have the right debt to income ratio. You have to save up and down. Like, to get a house is impossible, right? But you can just have a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
Just have a kid.
Many of them.
And yes, I'm very aware that there's some, no one's advocating that only certain people should have kids. But I will say this, some people should not.
Right.
Like, straight up. And the amount, it really makes me worry about our future in the sense that the lack of accountability, like, God forbid, if somebody at one of my kids' schools, a teacher or vice principal, whatever, called me because Avery or Mason did something wrong, I wouldn't even investigate as to whether they did it wrong. It would be their fault just for being in the vicinity. I would be incredibly embarrassed and come down on them with the thunder of Thor's hammer type of, like, it would, you just couldn't do that.
Dork.
But the amount of, like, lack of responsibility.
Right.
It's like teachers and parents should be partners. Partners at best. Have a relationship.
Yeah.
Email. Have
not
a
adversaries.
Not adversaries. Absolutely not. I mean, teachers are incredible. I understand the whole teachers union controversy and all that and blah, blah, blah. But, like, I feel like teachers should be paid like doctors and dentists, man. Like, for real. Yeah. Like, every teacher should be making six figures. Every teacher. Every dollar that we have extra. I know I'm getting kind of political, but I feel like education shouldn't be political. Like, we should have.
Really?
I know. We should have cathedrals for schools, man. We should have, I mean, everywhere. Like, that should be our big thing. Education is a silver bullet. And I see that crap happening. Now I'm watching one kid try to get into college, and good luck, dude. It is a nightmare out there trying to get into college. Anyways, so, hey, NFL draft was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I had in my mind today. It's just, that's what really grinds my gear. So, shout out to teachers. That's what I say.
Hug a teacher today.
Yeah, hug a teacher today. It may not be hug a teacher day, but hug a teacher today. Let them know you appreciate them, because you know what? Other than you, the parent, they're probably the most responsible for how your kid turns out. And that's a pretty big deal considering they only get 1 year and get paid like $19 an hour to do it.
Right.
When we come back, we will get into yesterday, the NFL draft. That was the big deal. NBA playoffs back. And we've already got one series almost over. We'll get to some baseball. We'll continue our exit interviews. Monty McNair is going to be part of that today as well. We'll get to DeMontis Sabonis. Hopefully we have time there. So we're getting some pretty big names in there. It's Dave, it's Chris, it's Jason. It is a Friday Fun and Games. Don't forget that. But we'll come back with Leading Off next.
Let's do it. Leading Off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
All right. Well, no surprise there. You never know until the draft actually happens. But no surprise, the Chicago Bears, they go with Caleb Williams as their number one pick in the draft. And we'll see, Jason. Because the Chicago Bears have, and we've talked about this before, it's one of the craziest things in sports that does not get talked about enough. The Chicago Bears' luck with quarterbacks is absolute; it's non-existent.
Right.
Team's been around for 100 years, and
nothing really.
Nothing. You know, when you look back since, I don't even want to go back into the 70s, and, you know, I get that there's, you know, like, dude who played in 1950. But when you look back and you go Jim McMahon, Rex Grossman, Jay Cutler.
I think Cutler, in our lifetime, has been the best, like, best quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, Grossman got him to a Super Bowl. McMahon won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But,
woof. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
they drafted Fields, could have been the guy, and uh-huh. Now they've moved on already.
Well, we knew it. I'm pretty sure day of the draft, it was up, Ohio State quarterback, yeah. And Chicago Bears quarterback.
Here we go.
Never going to work, yeah. Because Ohio State is the Chicago Bears of quarterbacks in college. Now you got USC, and this kid is the best prospect across the board in the draft. Doesn't mean he's going to work out, but he's the best prospect across the board. So they bring in a highly ranked wide receiver as well to go with some of their wide receivers. It'll be interesting to see how that works out on the field. You certainly hope that, you know, I have a dog in the fight. I don't care about the Bears, but the NFL is better when the Chicago Bears are doing well. They're just one of those teams. That's a tentpole team. For the NFL, they're obviously doing fine without them, but a lot of Bears fans, a lot of diehard. I appreciate Bear fans because you got to be diehard to be a Bears fan.
Yeah, and they should be excited about what the potential is. You go number one in a draft that six of the top 12 had QBs. They got the first one of the group. It's just history shows us and would suggest that when you take that many, several aren't going to work. And so, man, everybody always invests and tries to find the next great QB.
You'd think with the Bears, the one would.
You would think.
You just think at some point, luck of the draw, where you're drafting. It's not like they're pulling them all in the third round or something like that, you know. Either way, be interesting. And let's go football. Hurry up. Let's start it right now. They should do the draft. You know, it's like WNBA. You know what? I like that.
Yeah.
You do the draft, you're going to see him in a month.
Right.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's start it. Let's go. Let's make the NFL season 26 games. And
what
start
could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Start it in July. Number two, please. Number two. Court number two. Something's sticking on the board. Oh, Chris is getting mad. Maybe too much Royal Match.
Yeah.
Number two.
The 31st pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. The San Francisco 49ers select Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver, Florida.
Kind of like we talked about yesterday. No idea. No idea. We can only talk about fit and past performance in college. I trust John Lynch. There's no reason as a Niner fan for me not to, because for every we pick Trey Lance in the third round, of course, there's a Brock Purdy or there's a Brandon Ayuk or there's a Deebo Samuel or whatever it is. Like, he is far from infallible, but he sure as hell ain't Trent Baalke, and they've built a wonderful team. Now, I think what every 49er fan thought when that pick was made, when you use a first-round pick, when you need safety help, secondary help, including safety, when you need line help, and you're going with a skill position, you're going with, it's almost the antithesis of what Aaron Rodgers got in the Packers, where the Niners are just so prone to pick skill positions, and they pick a wide receiver when they've got George Kittle, when they have Christian McCaffrey, when they have Deebo Samuel, when they have Brandon Ayuk. It's the obvious rumor that's out there, but I cannot imagine a world, Jason, where they go into next season with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk.
And Pearsall and Kittle. And,
right. And if you're reading the tea leaves, and again, yeah, this like,
made, rumors all over the place yesterday with Ayuk.
Yeah, with Ayuk. If I'm reading the tea leaves, and a lot of people are coming to the same conclusion, there's a noted difference in John Lynch's conversations about Brandon Ayuk and those talks, where he's like, yeah, we're having good talks. And then he's kind of skirting around the Deebo Samuel situation. Now, this may be smoke. Then you add the fact that Pearsall and Ayuk were college roommates. It would seem like, well, we think it's Ayuk, but actually it's Deebo that's the one that they may move. And, Deebo is one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL when healthy. But I do kind of get the feeling, if, you know, for money, everything, if they were going to move off one of them, it would be Deebo. And there's Mike Silver. Thinks there may be a move today for him on day two. Just be very interesting to see what they get for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously you're always trying to acquire more talent, even if you feel like you've got needs in other areas. when the Niners pick an offensive player, I always feel like it's not his pick, but like, what did Shanahan see?
Right.
He's such a brilliant offensive mind. It's like, how is he envisioning him already?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I always go to. It's like, okay, I didn't think they'd go wide receiver, but they did.
Yeah.
What's he seeing here? What's the plan?
Well, we have, you know, it's a great thing. The one great thing about social media is that it gives you access to all kinds of opinions and videos and analysis. At some point today, we'll fit it in somewhere. We're going to hear from both Steve Smith and the one that really got me, CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
On Pearsall and both of their opinions on this guy as well. Again, you never know.
Right.
They might have just picked a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Could have.
They also might have picked
Be a first round bust.
That's what's so fun about draft coverage. All right, cut number three, please.
Cut number three.
And Reeves will dribble off the clock. The Nuggets are rolling. They take a 3-0 lead in the series.
Yeah, dude. We talked about it yesterday. You know, this is a series where it seems like it has been close.
Yeah, and they're all the same. Lakers lead at half.
Yeah.
And then can't win the game.
The Lakers are at a double-digit lead in every game.
Right.
And
it's like, oh, man, this would be tough for Denver tonight. This is a different Laker team. No, it's the same.
No, it's not. It's the same thing. Yeah. And Denver is – I saw somebody yesterday – can't remember who. It stuck in my head, though. They compared the Nuggets to the Dynasty Spurs. And I've never heard that comparison. And it made me think, like, really? But it was, they are methodical. Their playbook is not intense. They have a generational big man. They have a very good point guard. And they will just beat you down and beat you down and beat you down. They don't panic. They don't get out. They could be down 10. They could be down 20. They could be up 20. They're going to play the same system, run the same plays. They run their offense. They make their shots. They don't get caught in transition. And they will eventually, and they'll just wait. Oh, you're hot? Oh, you have a 15-point lead. Cool. That's awesome. We're just going to keep running our plays.
Yeah.
And it is the tortoise and the hare. And eventually, when the fourth quarter hits, oh. Starting to get a little tired. Maybe this guy's not hitting that 8 of 8 from three or whatever. Our defense is beating you down a little bit. Our offense has run you ragged. It is boxing. It is a championship rounds, and Denver has made it very difficult. And by the way, I don't think playing at 7,000 billion feet in the air at home hurts, but this was on the road as well. They just wear you down, Jason.
And by the end of the game, and I would understand it a little bit, the Lakers look defeated in more ways than
one.
Right? I mean, it's... they're losing the game, losing the series, and it just looked like they also took their spirit, which I don't blame them. I mean, it's 3-0. Is it possible? Sure.
Yes.
I'm not predicting that. Would not predict it. I think it feels like it's over. They look like it's over.
And it is, whether it's a sweep,
right.
Five games, whatever. It is. Denver just was 11 in a row over the Lakers.
Yeah, there's some ownage going on.
But the I will tell you this, and look out for it today, because it was happening last night, and I'm not just talking about Johnny6969 on Twitter. I'm talking about these million-dollar national talking heads. If you're going to use this series to go at LeBron's legacy or blame him, let me just say a thing. LeBron James, if he was a normal NBA athlete, would have retired by now. It is not even close the level of season he has put up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, LeBron James ain't perfect. He whines too much. I mean, we can get into that all day long. This isn't a defense of LeBron as a whole. But to use this as like, well, Michael would have never done. I literally heard somebody say, imagine Michael Jordan dealing with – imagine Michael Jordan being down 0-3 like this. And I'm like, Michael Jordan – would have put up a fraction of LeBron James's numbers at this age, did. And I don't remember the Wizards doing much in the playoffs. Like, what are you doing here?
But what was LeBron's batting average?
he never struck out, unlike Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
It's just so silly. Like, the Lakers are not there. They are a ceiling. That team is... And, Jason, at some point, it is going to be summertime, and... we always get into our philosophical conversations there for content, but You know, at some point with a lottery pick at 13, we are going to have to, we do contractually have to have a conversation as to whether or not, if you're Monty McNair, you're even kicking the tires on LeBron James in that situation. If you're even having
meaning a Bronny?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to. You have to have a conversation. You mentioned yesterday Rich Paul is, or Sam did, that Rich Paul is also De'Aaron Fox's agent. So you're talking to him all the time. And if I'm Monty McNair, then, you know, there's tampering and all, you got to be careful. But once the season ends, you know, LeBron can opt out. You got to find out, is LeBron, if we draft, straight up, if we draft Bronny James at 13 or wherever, which is obviously not commensurate with where he should go, so he's going to make a lot more money than he would. Is LeBron James going to, is he coming, would he come here? I mean, would he come here for a price that fits into our cap? Because obviously that's an issue. Are we legitimately going to be able to get LeBron James if we draft Bronny James for $2, $3 million? And I know that this is pie in the sky, and I know that it's silly on the surface, and I know that it's almost certainly not going to happen, but it is 100% the responsibility to go out there. If you can go into next year, I mean, no offense, but screw Bronny James. You can go into next year with a $5 million a year LeBron James at your three. You have to look at that.
Right.
Especially in a draft like this. Don't look at it as drafting Bronny James. Who knows? Maybe he turns out to be a good player. I don't know. Who cares? The question is, would you trade the number 13 pick for 2 years of LeBron James, even at his age? I would.
And you have to think, did you know he played his first game here?
You know what? Oh, my God. Then the start and the finish, circle, all things. Now I sound like Mr. Cheezel and Grandma's Boy. Like, no, wait. No, it's Kevin Nealon, but not
and Happy
Mr.
Gilmore.
And Happy Gilmore. Thank you. Trying to putt. Don't you have to look at that as absurd as it is?
Yeah, you look at it. Now, whether that's a third, I mean, yeah, Bronny I've seen all over the place, whether he's even a draft pick or not.
If I told you that Bronny James would basically be, no offense, I'm just picking a name out, Robert Woodard, but it got you 2 years of LeBron James at a price they could afford, is that not worth the 13th pick of the draft?
Yeah.
Okay. I agree. And whether you put LeBron at the four, whether you put LeBron at the three and slid Keegan around. And I would also say this, which is something we haven't been able to say much in the past. If you're talking to Rich Paul and you're talking to LeBron James, LeBron James on the Kings, that's a better team than LeBron James on the Lakers.
Right.
If LeBron James could clone himself and be on both the Kings and the Lakers, I mean, the Kings are already beating him. Now add in LeBron James, which, no offense, but is an upgrade from Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say that old LeBron James next year is an upgrade from Harrison Barnes. Maybe not for long, but a year or two. Imagine LeBron James driving and kicking to De'Aaron Fox or whoever in the corner.
Keegan.
Imagine De'Aaron Fox. Thank you. Driving and kicking to LeBron. Can you imagine driving around a brand new Dodge Ram from Hoblet, knowing that you got the best deal around? Well, I can, because it's Ram Truck Month. I mean, it's April 26th, so it's... it's more like Ram Truck Week right now. Get out there while you can. 75 years in business for Hoblet. What better way to celebrate than helping you get the hard-to-find HD Ram you've been looking for less? Right now, save up to $8,000 off MSRP on the new 2024 Ram 2500 Tradesman Crew Cabs. And with California's biggest selection of Ram trucks, you're sure to find the truck you need. 75 years, all starting with Chad Hoblet's grandpa and great-grandpa's dream. Proud of him. It's grown over the years. They've served tens of thousands of customers. And everyone sees there's something special about Hoblet that you just can't get at those big city auto mall dealerships. It's true. Experience it for yourself at California's number one Ram truck dealer. Search, select, and save through their whole inventory at HobletDodge.com. Unbeatable prices. Unbeatable selection. Nobody beats Hoblet. Period. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hit the NBA playoffs real quick. Sixers, Lakers, Magic. We got to talk about Joel Embiid as well. A couple of things to talk about in a Joel Embiid-centric NBA breakdown. We'll do that next.
It's the River Cats Report. What's going on with the Giants AAA squad?
The River Cats Report.
Dave, you ready for the River Cats Report?
I am ready.
That cat was on the river. Well, they're home this weekend.
Yeah, they are.
It's a good time to be out there. It's always a Smud Orange Friday. Includes a pregame happy hour out there.
Yeah.
Postgame fireworks every Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, bring the family Sunday, Monday, and enjoy pregame player autographs presented by Xfinity. But look, they're off to a good start. 15-8 for the River Cats beginning this season. A couple of winning streaks of four games or more in there. So that's their best start to beginning a season through 23 games since the 2012 season. So, one, that they are playing well, and most importantly, it is a good time out there to check out your Sacramento River Cats 25 years. Where did that go?
Wow.
I really remember. I do remember this very well, being out there for the inaugural first shovel.
Yeah.
Covering it for, we weren't Hot Talk. We were Sports 1140 at the time.
Yeah.
And just being a young reporter out there going, look at this. Future ballpark here in Sacramento. What's this going to be like? And here we are 25 years later celebrating the River Cats and watching them thrive here. And they've been, I mean, talk about a winning organization. They've done a really good job in those 25 years.
Wow. That's the second time in 24 hours I felt really, really old. Yesterday was Tim Duncan's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, remember him at Wake Forest? Oh, God. I do.
Yeah. That one hit you, huh?
That hit me. It's just the weirdest ones hit me.
And the River Cats.
Now, why did we turn the River Cats Report into something sad?
No, it's a celebration.
We're all going to die soon, Jason. Wow. We're so
old. That's your River Cats Report.
I wish we had Jason's first River Cats Report.
Ever?
From the shovel.
Oh, my God.
I think I have it somewhere.
Operator, give me KL5, 1140.
Is that a Niner?
That a Niner. And he's holding the headphones, just the one headphone to the ear.
A no baseball team in town. Stop.
Back to you.
After the shovel, you guys had all hit your deadline. Everybody rushed to the 10 phone booths outside.
Yes. Had my fedora in the top. It's a big press.
You know, when I've told you that before, when I was 11 and trying to work for the old Sacramento Bee, I honestly thought that was a thing. And so my mom made me write down, like, now when you go in and meet with them, just write down, you have to be clear, like, what you want, what you're willing to do. So, like, one of the things I wrote down was I wanted a press pass, and I'll never forget. It was Scott Labar, who's still at the Bee to this day. I'm like, and I'd really like a press pass, because I thought, like, a press pass, like, legit, you put in your hat or you had it on you, and, like, I'm 11, shut up. And like, it gets you into everything. Oh, I'm
like going, a skeleton key.
Yes, right. It's like a skeleton.
You have a key to the city with a press pass.
With a press pass. Yeah. Like, oh, here's a concert, I'm in. I got to cover it. Here's ball game, press pass.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to try your ice cream.
Yeah. Right.
Murder. I'm there. Press pass. You're on the scene.
Carrying around a cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on here, see?
Did your mom bedazzle your press pass?
She would have. Golly. My mom would have gone into the meeting with me if she could have negotiated. Anyway.
River Cats.
We're supposed to do NBA playoffs here, and we will. But I want to stop down just real quick because, like, our group chat, and I guess I'm trying to figure out, because, you know, Chris is Wrestler Joe over there, and he's just like the excitement. Like, Chris doesn't get excited about a lot of things. The excitement and the twinkle.
Probably two things:
wrestling and soccer.
Yeah.
But like the
perfect.
Yeah, the excitement in his eyes, the twinkle with this whole which Khan is it? Tony Khan. Tony Khan. And I guess Tony Khan owns, okay, let me see if I got
Tony
it right.
Carney.
Tony Khan owns AEW, and in AEW there was a real life argument backstage with some dude and CM Punk, and CM Punk got released. And
Jack Perry, Luke Perry's son.
Luke Perry's son, that's right. I did read that. So Jack Perry, no psychouts. That's who gets that? Nobody? Okay. They get in a fight. CM Punk gets released. Perry really gets suspended. But then they turn it into like a makeup thing in the ring. And they hug, and then, like, oh, no, they're he's out to get him. And he, like, holds him, and then, like, a tag team comes in, and they pile drive him or whatever. And then yesterday, he's in the Jags war room, and they're showing him on the draft thing, and he's wearing a neck brace, whether he's still almost certainly, you know, this is the wrestling thing. And what a great crossover with the NFL. I mean, it's incredibly intelligent. You're getting the NFL audience, of which there's quite the crossover into professional wrestling, for real, and you're getting free public, like, why is this dude wearing a neck brace? Oh, this is what happened the other night. Like, it's brilliant marketing. But am I is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. And here's a whatever here.
Jacksonville Jaguars were on the clock, 17th overall, but they traded down as Tony Khan becomes the first ever NFL executive in a draft room, shaking off the effects of a pile driver he received on national television in a wrestling ring the night before. Such is life when you mix AEW and the NFL. Tony Khan, hang in there, buddy. Hang in there. That's it.
So... look, he's 41 years old. Ain't his fault. None of this. He's doing what he can, where he can. And I have no problems with any of that. Here's where I'm gonna put my big boy pants on. I just want to take a moment to talk about how ridiculously embarrassing that is. It's
in what way?
It's disgusting. But here's why. Not for why you think. The Jacksonville Jaguars are one of the most failing franchises in the entire sport consistently. This isn't about Tony Khan. This is just in general. Everyone, name for me children of owners that are successful in executive positions. Successful. And I want to say the closest is Stephen Jones. And look at the Cowboys. What is it about owners that think, you know, I understand if you're an owner and you go, I'm going to die someday. And my family is going to own this team. And I need my son/daughter to understand how to own a team. Tony Khan is the chief football strategy officer. Not the COO, not the CFO, not the CMO. He's the chief football strategy guy, owner, thing.
CFSO.
Yeah. But and his football career... actually, you may not know this, but Tony Khan's son of owner Shad Khan, his football career is actually pretty impressive considering he didn't play ever. He's in charge of your football strategy. This isn't about the wrestling. This isn't about any of that. I don't have a problem with any of that. I just want to, just in general, bring up the idea that if I'm a Jaguars fan, I'm sitting here making the wank-wank motion with both hands going, yeah, this is great. This is the guy in charge of our football strategy. He's in the war room with no qualifications because his dad owns the team and they use it as a play toy. Oh, hey, yeah, I'll let my son do it. No, should we go? Should Bill?
Do you have to have played football though?
You do not have to have played football, and I'm not immune to the fact, as you and I sit here and analyze sports, I'm not immune to the fact that you don't have to have played football to be a good executive. Basketball, baseball, you don't. Of course not. I see no evidence whatsoever in background or anything else that this guy's qualifications are anything other than his father used to carry him around in his coin purse.
I mean, and he got Fulham promoted.
That's other football. And I just want to take a moment to any owner that may need to hear this. Putting your family in positions of power other than executive torial, which is totally not a word, is gross and dumb, and you shouldn't do it. It's not just an insult to the fan base. It's also probably not the best parenting either. What if you're the kid and you're being put in that position? Oh, thanks. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, right. Dad. Now everybody's going to think I'm a Nepo baby and that I didn't do anything to get here. And they're going to blame me unnecessarily for anything. And it's going to be a huge mental strain on me. Thanks. Again, if you're putting them in a position to eventually own the team and they're learning marketing and ticket sales and strategies and sponsorship. Yeah, absolutely 100% do that. Keep them away from the sports part of it, the GMing part of it, the strategy part. That's all I'm saying.
Can I counterpoint?
Of course you can. Could you not counterpoint?
I could not counterpoint, but I would like to counterpoint.
No, please do.
It's the Jaguars.
I mean, honestly, I can't disagree with that. It is the Jaguars.
Point for Chris.
Screw it. And Shad Khan can hold on to it, do what he wants with it. And he knows when he sells it, he's going to make about $4 billion. We'll take a break.
The London Jags.
I mean, honestly, when we come back, we'll get to the NBA playoffs. Safe or out. Players Weekend is returning. Kind of. Sort of. Because if baseball's going to do anything, they're going to take something that works, stop doing it for a couple years, bring it back, and then one of the main things that worked about it, they're not going to bring back. We'll explain what that means along with other safe or out stuff. In the meantime, I need to. I don't. It's not that I want to or I have to. It's that I need to. When I woke up this morning, I went, I need to talk to the audience about their energy bills. I have to. It really, really bothers me because I don't want you guys, girls, whomever, paying all this money, man. Save that money. You're not a NFL owner's son or daughter. Stop paying those wacky PG&E spiky bills. Let American Energy switch you to electric, all electric. And oh, by the way, get up to $9,000 in rebates, in which they'll do all the work for you to get said rebates. They're also providing huge smud rebates by installing one of many incredibly efficient AC options available to you now. Wouldn't it be nice to be nice and cool in the summer, nice and warm in the winter in your house with a super efficient system? Oh, and oh, by the way, your bills have dropped. You don't have to do the whole thing where you open, we've all done this. You open the Smutter PG envelope when it comes in the mail and you just, it's like you're looking at a scary movie. You like slowly slide it out of the envelope. You're like, oh my God, that's a car payment. Yeah, don't do that. Let American Energy, who's been around since 1981, A+, Better Business Bureau, let them help you. 916-520-9990 for a free in-home energy efficiency analysis. 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy. Making the uncomfortable comfortable. From the 209, Mark Davis is laughing at you right now. Yeah, Raider fan, how's that work out? How's Mark Davis worked out for you? Tight end. When we come back, safe or out next.
Safe or out. It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings.
It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Yeah. Safe or out. Brought to you by
nobody.
No, not true. Brought to you by Oleanders. I was on the phone with Jason last night.
Yes.
We were talking about Oleanders.
Yeah, we were.
Not just the band.
Right.
The protection. Oleanders. Get yourself one today. Christopher Lutz, safer up.
I have no idea what any of that means.
Yeah, I'll tell you off the air.
Baseball is bringing back Players Weekend this season. Safer out. This is good. This is a good thing.
Yeah, it's out. It's a fout. I am gonna kind of hedge this one because it is a good thing. Yes, safe. This is something that people actually enjoyed. It was neat to get personality out there.
Players seemed to like it.
Like, why? So, you know, everyone loved it. So you stopped doing it in 2019 and 5 years later. And I understand the pandemic was part of that. But now they're bringing it back in August. Day one, August 16th, will feature their personalities, friendships, and off-the-field interests. Day two will focus on their charitable causes. And day three will celebrate the people who helped them on their path to the big leagues, including parents, coaches, and other mentors. During the weekend, players will wear special new era caps featuring each player's uniform number on the side panel in a youthful design. That's a quote. According to the release, players will also be able to use customized bats during the game and can wear cleats with personalized designs as well. The reason I say out is, number one, my favorite part of the whole thing was the nicknames.
Right.
Yeah, that's not there. They should always be able to wear personalized cleats. And yes, they should always be able to wear personalized bats. I understand you can't write like a sponsor on them. I get it. But like if some dude wants to come up with like a purple bedazzled bat and it's not like distracting the pitcher or something within those rules, that's the type of stuff we need.
Right. That's the signature bat then for that player that then other people want to copy. Yes. And that's how you get kids, fans, and so on and so forth.
Yes. Let them show. And the whole like charity and coaches that help, that's cute. That's like that's cool.
Yeah, but that's not getting people to go
no
to the game.
No, I mean, I'll just say it, that's cool. Most people don't care,
right?
Like, and that doesn't mean they shouldn't do it. Like, you're helping out a charity, you're giving the exposure, of course do it. Yes, it's a cool human interest story and some people care that Coach Wicks worked with you after, like, that's cool. But I'm saying from a marketing standpoint, agreed, they're doing away with a lot of stuff. Yeah. So
if the players love it, do it to the best of your ability to make the players love it and continue this trend and get more people involved.
Yes, 100%. And by the way, let the players control Players Weekend.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Number two, please.
Dusty Baker was awarded the Baseball Digest Lifetime Achievement Award, joining Willie Mays and Vin Scully. Safe or out, Dusty Baker is the most accomplished Sacramento athlete ever.
I mean, World Series champion, co-inventor of the high five, had a great career.
Rocks the toothpick.
Lifetime achievement. Like, he is a baseball lifer and has done it at all levels. Now.
Loves the Kings.
Now, there are, let's take one for example. And I have a feeling I'm really missing somebody. But, for example, like Summer Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, it's impossible to say this without sounding like I'm trying to diminish Summer Sanders' accomplishments, and I would never do that. Roseville Summer Sanders, total local hero, and there's no negative to what she did. If I was being Dusty Baker's advocate in this, I would say Summer did hers over a very finite time. Sure. Dusty's done his over decades and decades and decades. Right. Doesn't make anyone better than the other, but...
Dusty's got like two careers. That's what helps. Baseball playing career and then his managing career.
Am I forgetting? And John Daly doesn't count. Yeah. Warren Carmichael. Aaron Judge doesn't count.
Uriah,
I think, is on the list. Derek Lee's probably on the list.
Can't think of another famous swimmer from Sacramento.
Mark Spitz, right? Yeah, 100%. And I would say same thing, although Spitz, you know, my goodness gracious, once upon a time.
Heavyweight champion of the world, Max Baer Sr.
Tony the Tiger Lopez. The late Diego Corrales. I mean, it's a
Matt
fun.
Matt Barnes,
absolutely.
Ruthie Bolton.
She's not from here.
She's not? I guess she just played here.
Yes. I think
she lived here. That's like saying Jason's not from here.
I think he is. I think it's Dusty. And if not, he's certainly
safe.
He's certainly in the Mount Sac one.
Is it weird? I think his best accomplishment is the high five.
Well, it'll be the one remembered the longest.
When I think of Dusty Baker's entire career, I was too young to see him play, really. But when I think about his entire career, I will never forget this guy at my continuation school who once upon a time was a scout for the Baltimore Orioles. He had a card and everything. And he told me Dusty Baker could never be a manager and he could never do it in the major leagues because he drank too much beer. I will never forget that conversation.
Mm.
He could never be a manager. And then, turns out he doesn't, and turns out he was a really good manager, you ding-dong. I'll just always remember Dusty as my second favorite Giants behind the Will Clark, Roger Craig era. Yeah. There was the Dusty Baker, Barry Bonds era. Yeah. So congratulations to him. A true Sacramento hero. Number three, please.
Safer out. Ali De La Cruz is batting .306 with 7 home runs and 15 stolen bases as it just 22 years old. After a rushed finish that last year, safer out, he is now the most exciting young player in baseball.
He's certainly on the list.
Mm-hmm.
He started out gangbusters last year, and it really caught up to him. But he did a ton of work in the offseason. His slash lines are fantastic. He's already got 15 stolen bases. He's got power. O'Neill Cruz is a guy, the shortstop for the Pirates, I'm really, really high on. But he's had trouble finding, 6'7" shortstop. He's had trouble finding his swing this year. Ellie De La Cruz is just 22 years old. There's some candidates, for sure. But any conversation about most exciting young player in the major leagues, Ellie De La Cruz has to be on that list.
Power, speed, there's flash, there's swag. Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, I think there's a lot of good young baseball players right now. That's the problem. Baseball is in a good position of what they're doing on the field. Are people noticing? That's the problem for the sport.
If Ellie De La Cruz goes ballistic in Cincinnati, does anyone hear it?
Right.
If an Ellie De La Cruz hits a home run in Cincinnati, did it really happen? Wait, no. That's not the saying, is it?
Close.
Is it? Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's get into some season evaluations. Monty McNair. We got audio from him. Did he make the wrong call? Standing pat. We're going to discuss that a little bit as well before we get to Three for Madness. We'll do that right after this.